Well, welcome, dear ones, to our Friday evening church service on this last Friday evening in July of 2023. Welcome also to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and glad to have you in fellowship with us. I give you just a bit of information that's been going on this week. Lightministry.com is still offline. There has been progress, but it's still offline. So the Lord impressed me to, instead of continuing to wait for web hosting companies to figure out what's wrong with their software or their hardware or engineering problems to get Light Ministries online, I decided to go to a different web hosting place. And I used a different URL, lettherebelightministries.com. So I had purchased that domain name quite a few years ago, but it's so long that I just went with lightministries.com. So I signed in to my account there on that registrar that was lettherebelightministries.com. I was able to access the A record. I was able to access the name servers, and there was a problem with the name servers. So with the hosting that I was with that couldn't get lightministries.com online, I could access name servers, but I couldn't access the A record. Those two things are necessary to get a website online. So with lettherebelightministries.com, I could access the A record, but I couldn't access the name servers. So it's like, and it was a completely different registrar company. They weren't connected. So I brought the issue to the attention of that particular registrar. It went through their different stages or different levels of technical support, and it finally went all the way to the engineers. And so every time you change a name server, it's 1 to 2 days wait time to see if it's actually going to work. And if you're one letter off or you misspelled something or there's a technical issue or there's a hardware issue with the server that the name is parked at, it's just a two-day wait period to find out it doesn't work. So you change something, another two-day wait period. And anyway, to make a long story short, the Lord gave extra grace to be patient and wait. You can see I still have hair. I haven't pulled it out. And all of a sudden, lettherebelightministries.com is online. So it's a super long name, but it's online. And I've been able to update the site, but that's since last night. It's online. This morning, I made sure it was still online, and I was able to update the site. But it's not the complete site. Since it's not lightministries.com, but it's lettherebelightministries.com, there's links in the site that point people to Light Ministries. So I have to go to those links. I have to change those links to lettherebelightministries.com, and then it works. So eventually, when anyone clicks on lightministries.com, once that site works, it's going to take them to the very same files where Let There Be Light Ministries is stored. So whether you click on Light Ministry or you click on Let There Be Light Ministry, it's all going to take you to the same website. But that's not yet. So let me share my screen here. So if I go to the web, make it here, and I type in www.letthereelightministries.com and click enter, there's the site. Praise the Lord. It's been since June 15. So 43 days with it being offline, it is finally online. But not all the links are going to work. This is not the SDA section. This is just the non-SDA section. So you can go to Bible studies. All the Bible studies come up. There's not a problem. But as soon as you go to something that is connected, like booklets here, that's its own separate folder, and it's not, the link there is not working correctly. So most of the site is working, but not all the site is working. But at least some of it, most of it, is working in the non-SDA section. So when someone clicks on lightministries.com, it is still not functioning. They're not going to see anything yet. So we still need your prayers, and thank you so much for your prayers in this. There's still much more that needs to work in order for the site to be back up to how it was before all this stuff happened. But the end is in sight. And I have been getting comments and reports from others about not being able to visit the website. And they're recognizing that the devil is behind it. They're also beginning to recognize that if they can do it to lightministries.com, they can do it to any website out there. So it shows you that time is indeed short, that the devil almost has everything in place to break persecution and restriction of liberty upon anyone's head. And it's, the Lord is allowing this lack of access to lightministries.com to start waking people up that, hey, we're in a battle. It is a spiritual battle, yes, but there's actually a physical battle taking place to try and prevent the present truths from going worldwide. So again, the site is up partially, but it's not under lightministries.com. It's under lettherebelightministries.com. So it's more involved in typing it in, but you can just put a link on your website, on your desktop, right? You can put a link to lettherebelightministries.com on your desktop, and it's just one click away. So thank you for your continued prayers in that. Regarding emails now. This coming Sunday or Monday, I'm going to be getting emails connected with lettherebelightministries.com. So I'll be able to contact all of those that were using lightmen@tarragon.com or Elder Robert at lightministries.com or ltblmen@tarragon.com. All those emails aren't working, but I'll be able to get emails with lettherebelightministry.com as the address. And I'll still put in Lightmen or Elder Robert or LTBLmen. So you're familiar with the beginning of those email addresses. And I'll be sending each of you a email with the new email address. So again, that's coming up in this next week. So again, thank you for your prayers. Welcome, dear Sister Jane. Just so you know, the website is back up partially. It's not lightministries.com. It's lettherebelightministry.com. And so if they never fix lightministries.com, the website can still go up. So that's that news. Now I have another bit of news that is a gigantic, praise the Lord. Our dear sister Joan has decided to sell her place here and to move with Michelle. Sorry.
That's okay. You touch my heart too.
To move with us to Oregon. So that is a gigantic answer to prayer and a very wonderful, heartfelt gift for Mom to do that. So that is going to involve quite a bit of logistics. And that means there has to be quite a bit of preparation involved. And we've already started packing here at Mom's place. But it's going to involve a lot of logistics to get her all packed, to get her moved, either with a moving company or with us doing it ourselves and getting her established up at our property. And the home that we have is not big enough. It's only it's single family, but it's one bedroom. And the other room is used for a ministry. So after Mom sells her place here, we're going to have to invest in putting an addition on to that home. But that's going to be a next year project, not this year. So we solicit your prayers in a big way. I'm going to have to leave here, not this coming week, but the following week to go down and get everything prepared. Yeah, it's up, sorry. To go north where we are, and get everything prepared there. And then I'll be coming back here to help in the final issues to get Mom finally packed and moved up to Oregon. So that means the ministry, not this coming Friday or Sabbath, but the next Friday and Sabbath, I won't be able to do the meetings. I'll still have either Adele or myself open the room, but I won't be able to lead out because I won't be able to have access to the computers. and of course to the sermons and that. So it's a great blessing, but it also comes with extra responsibility. And so So there's going to be 2 or 3 week gaps in between all of this where I won't be able to lead out in the meetings. And so I will make sure that the home church is not shut down, that there are others that can fill those times in which I'm not able to lead out. And so the church services will still continue. Friday evening and Sabbath. Our dear brother James, he'll mention to you about Wednesday night. But there's great blessings that happened these past weeks, even though there was great attacking of keeping Light Ministries off the web. So praise God that it wasn't all bad. There were great blessings in between, and there will continue to be great blessings, because the devil's a defeated foe, and God will triumph over all. We need to be on God's side in every issue. What this whole situation, yeah, amen, he went. What this whole situation has taught me is that the best course of action is to plan everything that you can, but then let God control. So there's nothing wrong in having a plan A and then a plan B and then a plan C and a plan D and go down the way, you know. But in the end, don't allow it to get under your skin if plan A fails and B fails and C fails and D fails and E fails, because God knows why they didn't work, and he has a plan 999. And one of them is going to work in God's perfect timing. So all the anxiety that I felt, all the frustration that was happening, you know, because you took one step forward and it was two steps back. So you were losing ground. But all of that was unnecessary, because God is in control. So lightministries.com website is God's website, right? If he wanted it offline for whatever reason, it's going to be offline. And I have had individuals communicate with me through other methods and mentioned that they, you know, when they couldn't access the website and they couldn't contact me through email, they began to recognize that there are forces out there that are actively trying to keep the present truth from going forth. So that was like a wake-up call to them. You know, when you have free access to everything, you don't recognize the privilege in having free access. But when that access is limited or curtailed or cut off, then you begin to recognize how important, how much of a blessing it was when you were able to have such free access. So it was like a wake-up call to individuals to say, hey, we are in a battle. This is a war. And look at what is happening now. And so, Lord willing, it will be a catalyst to get them active and spreading the truth. Amen. No complacency. Spreading the truth as fast and as far as they can do it while we still have the freedom to get it done. So for those just coming in, lightministries.com is still offline. But we were able to bring the website up on another domain. Let there be lightministries.com. So the website is back up since Thursday. So just 24 hours. It's back up partially under lettherebelightministries.com. So not all the links work, but that's a process. But we'll get it done with your prayers and God's help.
Just a note. Moving is not an easy thing here. There's 86 years of residue from living that has to be moved up to Oregon, and some of it's quite heavy.
So we do indeed thank you for your prayers and your thoughts in this. So again, this next Friday and Sabbath, I will be here. But the probably two or three Fridays and Sabbaths after that, someone else will be leading out. The room will still be open. The home church is not going to close. But I'll have to move the ministry from here back down to Oregon and then got to get it set up. So again, thank you for your prayers in this, in these situations. So praise God for his merciful kindness, for his grace, and for his perfect timing. Our opening song for today's service is "In Times Like These." In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor, I'm very sure, yes, very sure. My anchor holds, grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Amen. Christ definitely is not shifting sand. He is the solid rock. Every other so-called foundation or support is just compacted sand that will give way. And we don't want to fall with it. We want to stand on the eternal rock, Jesus Christ. It's now time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that for our service?
Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for another opportunity to meet up and have fellowship with thee and with brethren and sisters in the faith. And for guests and others from different backgrounds listening to the recording and visiting us as well, not only online, but in person, over the phone, at their door, etc., and in public life and private life. We thank you for allowing us to hear with our own ears the fantastic news that the presence of LetThereBeLightMinistries.com is on the World Wide Web again. And may the adjustments continue going on so that it may even be better than what it was before this problem, these issues, which are many, existed. Thank you for watching over us and protecting us, especially from ourselves, when we commit our souls unto the faithful Creator that you are. Thank you for allowing serious big decisions to be made in a variety of different ways, whether it's moving location, changing jobs, getting a new one, having a secondary one, and many other things that are facing brothers and sisters in the faith on a regular basis. Please help us be faithful to the prayer requests that they have shared, to take it to heart and be as if it was us in their circumstances, so we can be involved not only in the prayer process from the heart, but the praise process from the heart. And thank you that we can praise you no matter what happens, because you are winning, you will win, and we want to be triumphing through the truth, even though it will cost us everything to get it. Everything that we once loved of the world and of sin, that we might have Jesus and count everything else done. Looking forward to our reading in Prophets and Kings, and please help dear Sister Lucy and others that might be having issues getting online or staying online. And we're thankful for another opportunity, and pray we indeed don't think it small, the privileges that you set our way, and know for a certainty that you bless those who want to follow the truth. You can't bless those who willingly do not want to follow it, to know the difference and to learn from the lessons of the past, to the edification of us as individuals and as home churches worldwide. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. And you know, through all of this turmoil with the website issue and the domains and the name servers and the A records and so on, Psalms 27:4 has become quite precious. Let me sing it for you. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 27:14. So thank you, dear brother. We are continuing in our study book. This is Prophets and Kings, chapter 14. titled Elijah the Tishbite, subtitled In the Spirit and Power of Elias. And we left off about a third of the way down on page 188 to the paragraph that starts out, "The time is not far distant." And the last thing that we were discussing before we ended is that the line of demarcation in the days of Elijah between those who served God and those who served him not was very distinct, because Elijah said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If God is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." There was no riding the fence in that issue. If you refused to choose, that meant you denied God because you didn't choose him. So that same distinct line between the obedient and the disobedient, between God's followers and the devil's followers, between commandment keepers and commandment breakers, is still going on from Elijah's day all the way down to today. And then notice here what the line of demarcation for today is. And this is a thus saith the Lord here. The message for today is Babylon the Great is fallen, come out of her, my people. So just as in Elijah's day, when he said, "Who's on the Lord's side, let him come unto me," and you can't worship God and worship the devil. You have to choose one or the other. It's the same message today. Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto Christ. Babylon is the church, fallen because of her errors and sins, because of her rejection of the truth given her from heaven. Come out of her, my people. And of course, go right to Christ yourself. So here we have the loud cry being the message that Elijah would preach if he was here. So those that are waiting for Elijah to appear in these last days, or the spirit and power of Elijah to be manifested in these last days, we have how you can spot that. And that is those that are preaching the loud cry. So then those that aren't preaching the loud cry, or those that are telling individuals it's not time to give the loud cry, or those who believe that the message doesn't apply to every fallen church, just some, they're with Baal. They're not with God. They're not commandment keepers, they're commandment breakers, because God is calling them out and they're staying in. So the message for today is the loud cry. So that's where we left off discussing. And now we're going to pick it up in this new paragraph. The time is not far distant when the test will come to every soul. The observance of the false Sabbath will be urged upon us. The contest will be between the commandments of God and the commandments of men. Those who have yielded to the powers that be, rather than subject themselves to derision, insult, threat, and imprisonment and death, those who have yielded step by step to worldly demands and conform to worldly customs will then yield to the powers that be, rather than subject themselves to derision, insult, threatened imprisonment, and death. At that time, the gold will be separated from the dross. True godliness will be clearly distinguished from the appearance and tinsel of it. Many a star that we have admired for its brilliance will then go out in darkness. Those who have assumed the ornaments of the sanctuary, but are not clothed with Christ's righteousness, will then appear in the shame of their own nakedness. So here we have the message for today, God telling us to give the loud cry, to call people out of all Babylonian churches to go directly to Jesus Christ. And then the very next sentence states, the time is not far distant when the observance of the false Sabbath will be urged upon us. So that shows you that the loud cry is given first, and then it will not be far distant when the Sabbath Sunday issue will become paramount. So it's not the Sunday law that signals the time to give the loud cry. It's when the loud cry is given that it will not be far distant until the Sunday law will be enforced. And just like it was in the days of Elijah, the contest will be between the commandments of God and the commandments of men, between the God of heaven and Baal, between Saturday and Sunday. And those who are yielding step by step or compromising with worldly demands, you have to work on Sabbath or you can't work here. Those who are yielding to the demands of men and are conforming to worldly customs will yield to the Sunday law and avoid being derided, insulted, threatened with imprisonment, and threatened with death. But none of this Sunday law, none of this increasing persecution is going to occur if the loud cry is not given first. So after the loud cry is given or is being given, then the Sabbath Sunday issue heats up. Then the contest will be between those who keep God's law versus those who disobey him. It will be between those who follow God's call out of the churches versus those who reject God's call and remain in the churches. Because come out of her, my people, is a command. Those who are compromising instead of standing firm for Christ will continue to compromise until they go right along with keeping the Sunday law. There's going to be individuals who are God's commandment-keeping people, who are Sabbath keepers, who leave the fallen churches in obeying God's command, will be more and more derided, insulted, brought out into the public eye. They won't be able to hide. They'll be threatened with imprisonment and threatened with death. And Christ is more important to them than anything. So they're not going to yield. They're not going to compromise. They're going to stand firm. And then the difference between those who stand firm for God and those who will not stand firm for God will be so plain that you'll see the gold of God's commandment-keeping people versus the dross of commandment breakers. Anyone will be able to see the difference between these two groups. And it's at that time that many a star, and a symbol for star in the Bible can be messenger of God or minister or pastor. Many a preacher that has been admired for their brilliance in preaching or brilliance in evangelism or whatever it may be will go out in darkness. They profess to be for God, but they refuse to stand for him. Others who appear to be the ministers of righteousness connected with the sanctuary, in other words, with the church, but they're in their own filthy rags instead of Christ's precious robe, will then appear in the shame of their own nakedness. They'll be exposed. So all of this demarcation between the obedient and the disobedient cannot effectually take place until the loud cry is given. Then people are brought to the test, just like Elijah brought them to the test. If the God of heaven is God, follow him. But if Baal is your God, then follow him. So if Jesus is indeed your Lord God, then follow him out of the church. If Baal is your Lord God, then remain in the church. The very same test, it's just the issues are a little different. Are there any thoughts, comments, or questions? Please go right ahead. I guess a pertinent question is, are you ready, dear listeners? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
The earth's inhabitants, scattered in every land, there are those who have not bowed. Just a moment. The knee to Baal. Like the stars of heaven, which appear only at night, these faithful ones will shine forth when darkness covers the earth and grows darkness to people. In heathen Africa, in the Catholic lands of Europe and of South America, in China, in India, in the islands of the sea, and in all the dark corners of the earth, God has in reserve a firmament of chosen ones that will yet shine forth amidst the darkness, revealing clearly to an apostate world the transforming power of obedience to his law. Even now they are appearing in every nation, among every tongue and people, and in the hour of deepest apostasy when Satan's supreme effort is made to cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive, under penalty of death, the sign of allegiance to the false Sabbath, a false rest day. These faithful ones, blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, will shine as lights in the world. Revelation 13:16 and Philippians 2:15. The darker the night, the more brilliantly they shine. Will they shine? Yes, 7,000 in Israel have not bowed the knee to Baal.
Amen. Amen. And God still has his remnant people, even though they're scattered all over the world. And there's a There's a verse in the minor prophets of the Old Testament, I forget exactly where it says the remnant in the last days will be found among many peoples. So, you know, those who believe that the remnant can only come from one specific group, I've heard Adventists say that the remnant can only come from the Adventist church. God's word says, I have my remnant among many peoples, not just one particular group. And they're scattered all over the world. And so when the loud cry goes forth more fully, more loudly, swelling greater and greater in intensity, then the Sabbath Sunday issue is going to heat up. There's going to be more of a difference between commandment keepers versus commandment breakers. And then God's people scattered all over the world are going to arise and shine and make themselves known to be a commandment keeper. And this reminds me of a vision that Ellen White had. She was in vision. An angel brought her up above the world in vision, and she looked down on the world and saw nothing but blackness. She says, where are God's people? Surely they have to be there. And the angel told her to look again. And as she looked again, she saw one little point of light or speck of light in an area on the dark world. And then she saw another, and then she saw another until the whole world was filled with light. That shows you that the loud cry doesn't start out at its loudest intensity. It starts out in a very small way. And then as more and more people hear the message and they in turn add their voices in giving the cry, it grows louder and louder and louder, and more light that points to Jesus Christ is seen until the whole world is filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. So the loud cry swells until it's at its loudest point. Will you help to make it louder, dear ones? Will you add your voices and your lives to make the cry swell louder? I hope so. Thank you, dear brother. Micah 5, verse 8. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest and as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. So the message that these remnant people, among many other peoples, preach is not going to be stopped. It's going to continue its work, and it's going to mow down those who are trying to stop it until the whole world is filled with God's glory and all decisions are made to be a commandment keeper or a commandment breaker. And then the end will come. Yeah, amen. Unstoppable. God's word was given to go forth, and none can stop it. It will accomplish the purpose for which God gave it. And what an honor and a privilege God has held out to each one of us, that we can be co-laborers with God in seeking to save the lost, in helping to swell the cry that's going to bring Christ back quicker. It's going to help end the great controversy. is going to enable the earth made new to take place. And again, may we add our voices to swell it. Amen. Hallelujah. So here, the events are brought out in their order. The loud cry is given. The Sabbath Sunday issue heats up. Sunday law is passed. Persecution occurs. And that persecution weeds out from among God's professed people all of those who are unwilling to continue following God without compromise. And the only ones left standing for God are his remnant people, are commandment keepers. They would rather die than commit sin, than break God's law. All the rest of the majority of the world, the majority of all churches, are compromisers, and they will be commandment breakers and lost. So if the cry is not given, then none of that can occur, and we're still here. Any questions, thoughts, comments, dear ones?
I was thinking of the job of a border collie. Have you ever seen a border collie in work? He runs out to the pasture, and he can either lead the sheep or make the sheep go any certain ways to the gate and into the place where they belong. It can be sheep or it can be cattle, but the border collie is very swift and very sure in their maneuvers. They don't hurt the people, they don't hurt the animals that they're trying to round up, but the animals know they mean business and they go the right way. And I always kind of think of God's people as being like border collies. We know where the people need to go, and we more or less kind of surround them and herd them in to the gate.
Amen. Amen. And the weapons we use are not barks. It's the truth. It's the truth that herds them in the right direction. The pathways for the ransom, the Lord to follow. You know, our job is to remove the stumbling stones, to repair the breaches, and then allow God's truth to be the guiding force that leads them directly to Jesus. But that's an excellent analogy. And the border collie does use his voice to herd the animals. Great point, dear sister. Any other comments or questions, dear ones, thoughts that you'd like to share? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
What strange work Elijah would have done in numbering Israel at the time when God's judgments were falling upon the backsliding people. He could count only one on the Lord's side. But when he said, "I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life," the word of the Lord surprised him. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 14 and 18.
Amen. So here, inspiration says it was very strange that Elijah would begin to try and number the faithful in Israel when God's judgments were falling upon the people to try and wake them up. But we can empathize with Elijah because he, to his eyesight, appeared to be the only one that was faithful. You know, when the showdown was going on between Elijah and the 850 leaders in Baal, no one stood with Elijah. He was one against 850, and then the king was there and the king's guard and the army. And so out of all of those people, he was the only one that was standing for God. And then you have the many thousands of Israel who weren't too eager to leave where they were and come and join Elijah. So it appeared to Elijah he was the only one. And he began to focus on the fact that he was the only faithful one. And everyone else was unfaithful just because he couldn't see the faithful out there. God then told him, I see everyone. I have 7,000 that have not yet become commandment breakers. They haven't bowed the knee to Baal. So inspiration says it was strange that Elijah would begin to number Israel and then focus on himself being the only faithful. And so we can see here that when it appears we're all alone, that no one else is doing the same kind of work. No one else is going out evangelizing. No one else is going out door knocking. No one else is spreading the message of the loud cry. We need to remember that God sees everything. We only see a little bit. But God sees it all. And God has his faithful in every nation all throughout the world. So then don't give up to despair. Recognize that you're not alone, that there's other faithful out there. There's other evangelists. There's other door knockers. There's other individuals that are doing what they can to spread the loud cry. And that will help us to avoid the temptation to say, everybody has to flock to me because I'm the only faithful one. And thus Christ will be shut out and self will be uplifted. We have to keep self hid in Christ Jesus. And we have to recognize that he has his faithful. We may never see him. We may never hear of them. But God has his faithful ones, and they're doing his bidding. And praise God that there's other individuals out there giving the loud cry that are doing what they can to awaken the populace. To awaken those in out of the way places that, hey, you know, there's a truth out there and this truth is important and there's a God backing the truth and we need to be set free by the truth and not continue to remain bound and captive to error, to false doctrines. Amen. Comment in the room. Says prayers are very powerful messages to God who never fails. Amen. Importunate prayer, prayer for others, moves the hand of God in their behalf. So don't give up praying, dear ones. If you try to witness to your loved ones or your friends or your neighbors and doesn't seem to have any effect upon them, don't quit praying for them. You may only be sowers of the seed, but not reapers of the harvest. Be content that you were able to give them the seeds of truth and then rely upon the Lord to sprout the seed and then to bring others to reach them and harvest the ripened grain. And who would like to read the last paragraph?
Then let no man attempt to number Israel today, but let everyone have a heart of flesh, a heart of tender sympathy, a heart that, like the heart of Christ, reaches out for the salvation of a lost world. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So inspiration gives you and me a warning. Let us not believe that we're the only faithful out there. Let us keep self hidden in Christ Jesus. Let us not run the pathway of puffing up ourselves and going forth in the pride that we're faithful and everyone else is unfaithful. But let us remain humble. Let us have a heart of flesh, a heart of tender sympathy, a heart that reaches out for the salvation of a lost world, even if we may be the only one in our family or the only one in our neighborhood or the only one in our community that we know of. God knows where his people are. He also knows the perfect timing to bring a worldling to the realization of the truth and to Christ Jesus for salvation. So don't lose hope. Don't give up. Don't belittle others. But recognize that as God worked untiringly to wake you up at the proper time that you woke up, so God has others that are just like you, waiting for the perfect time to be woken up and then brought into his work. So continue sowing the seed beside all waters. Continue casting forth the bread of life. And the promise is it will come back to you after many days. And how wonderful would it be to preach the message of Christ's righteousness and separation out of the church to Christ and then have someone come to your door and give you the very same message? I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful? And God knows exactly the pathway that it took to go from you to an individual or maybe many individuals, and then from them to others, and then to others, and them to others, and them to others, until it finally came all the way back to you. But if you never would have reached out to that one soul with the message, it may have never gone worldwide and then all the way back to you. So reach out to even one individual with the message of salvation, because you never know how many other precious seeds are going to go from that individual to others and then stretching all the way around the world.
Also, when you do, that may be the only time that their heart is ready to accept it. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's quite a solemn thought. If you neglected that one chance to give the message to an individual, that may have been their last chance to accept it. That's pretty solemn. Amen. Amen. Comment, actually a quotation in the room. It says, the only question asked in the judgment will be, have they been obedient to my commandments? Petty strife and contention over questions of no importance has no part in God's great plan. Those who teach the truth should be men of solid minds, who will not lead their hearers into a field of thistles. In other words, thorns. Nothing there. And that was Gospel Workers, page 315. Amen. And then another quotation here. It says, God moves in his own way in preparing men and women to be laborers together with him. The value of men and women is not to be estimated by the class of labor they perform. And that was Gospel Workers, the 1892 edition, page 315. Amen. Any other comments, thoughts, questions, dear ones?
Yeah, I was just thinking that, amen and amen, everything shared in the room and what you're saying, bro. I was just thinking, it almost looks like she's talking about Christendom alone, but of course she's not just talking about Christendom, but those who are not part of Babylon as well, for the salvation of a lost world, which goes beyond Christendom to every nation, kindred, tongue and people. Quite a thought, yeah. There's that temptation, oh, they're not a believer in God, so they're not going to be interested. Even Abraham said that to the Pharaoh when he said, why did you deceive me? If she's your wife, she's your wife. Oh, well, I thought the fear of God was not in the land. If I've got the right person, he did that more than once, Abimelech, another king. And it just goes to show the power of unbelief is great to the detriment of others, including yourselves, in the love of God being able to be preached through us and God using us as instruments in the Holy Spirit's hands.
Amen. Amen. So we're not to measure ourselves among ourselves. In other words, we're not to look at others and judge them according to what we would do in their place. So you may have an individual that reaches one person with the truth. And then you may have another individual that reaches out to 100 people. Which is more important? They're both the same. Because they're both in Christ Jesus, which makes them equal. So just because you may only reach one individual is no reason for others who reach many more individuals to look down upon you and say, well, it was useless. It's not in any way as good as what I have done or what others have done in reaching hundreds. Because that one individual that was reached by that one person may do more than the hundreds that were reached by another individual. It's like the widow's mite. Her little gift was commented on by Christ and put into the gospel. And the gigantic donation of the rich was not commented on. So we can't measure ourselves among ourselves and compare the work that one person does with the work that another person does and look at the amount of work that was done and then judge that the greater amount of work is of more importance than the little amount of work. Because God can bless the great as well as the less. And it's His blessing that makes all the effort put forth abundant. So don't think that because you don't have a ministry, it's not on the web, you're isolated in your community, there's no way for you to reach out to hundreds like others may be able to do. Do not allow that thought, that reality to keep you from working for the Lord. The little you do in faithfulness, God can multiply that exceedingly. And there can be hundreds and thousands that are brought to Christ through that one soul that you reached with the truth. So let your light shine, even if you only have one talent. And allow God to use you in reaching others with the truth.
I think of a Christian who lives their life according to the commandments, who just lives among other people and yet practices those laws that God sent to us, the laws of love, the Ten Commandments. Their life influences others because they don't see many people that keep those Ten Commandments, and it causes them to wonder, why is it that this person is so different from others? That's our shining light, a life dedicated to God that keeps His commandments.
Amen. We reach the end of chapter 14. And so next Friday, we'll pick it up in a new chapter. And I wonder what spiritual insights we're going to find in that chapter. Are there any testimonies, any thoughts, comments? Questions, songs, or requests that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones?
Yes, praise the Lord. That is very wonderful. Listen, we are evening and our morning here, and James, it's also morning. We are very glad that we can share all these hugs to you, dear Elder Bob. I'd like to thank you, everybody, for your prayer and support. That when I point out this one, it's not only praising me, but I'm only saying the Lord is working among us. And that He'll continue to bless us in every other bidding we put before Him through prayer and by His grace. I only want to tell you that He has continued to bless our Zoom meetings on every Fridays, like we are doing here. I try to fix a cop-up of what we do here, and we do it in Africa through my dear brothers in Kenya, Nairobi, who had the capacity to put a Zoom host so that we can all share farewell. And it is working. miraculously, I can say, by His grace. I've tried to put efforts to find out speakers with them who help. And a number of quite different speakers have spoken among ourselves. Isaac Osolo, Edabob, you know him, Kenneth Israel, and now I've now moved out in the diaspora. I entice Brother Joel Shafut also to speak with his music, and he have gone to James's family, James Snipes. I started with the younger man, Michael McAwell, son of Jean, who was speaking by yesterday. Then when the mom saw what we are and how needing we are, and then he said, can I take on with the coat and prepare for 10 sessions? Then I said, let me share with my dear brethren who are hosting and see if they can allow. So, surprisingly, without deeper discussion with them, they said, praise the Lord, He's welcome. Can He take on and we go on with His booklet for the 10 sessions He has requested? So, I saw God is working among us, and my dear brethren across there accepting to be joining in for the 10 sessions Jean will take on. And I was saying, wow, this is very great. And when we are discussing the lesson today that God works in His own way, we cannot underestimate. Then I said, this is the real message we need to send out to our dear brethren across. And you never at any time underestimate even a small talent among any of our brethren. Each should be doing his or her own part in this vineyard of the Lord. And the Lord is willing to bless every effort put to bring soul into, any soul into His ministry, into His fold. So, by His grace, probably by Wednesday, we shall be starting on with Jean's lessons caught and prepared. And it's a blessing that when we are entering, logging in here in Africa, it's evening hours, early evening hours. Meanwhile, across there, it's your day time working. So it's an issue of fixing time because you'll be already busy with your works. Probably, like at Bob, it's around 11, either around 11 to midday, which is the middle of work schedule always, and a heavy period, time fixture where people just sacrifice. And when somebody sacrifices, that he will come in and join to share with us the present truth, then we will come with a lot of enthusiasm that he's welcome. Otherwise, I can say the Lord is blessing us in every other bidding. In as much as we are living in hard times when things here in Africa are hard. On top of that, we are saying it has been a phenomenon that this is a period in Africa where we have what they used to call camp meeting in SDAs. And many of our people have not disabandoned that. We use this very session since there has been establishing their mind so that we have to reach out to them through camp meetings. And this season, straight away, we shall have a series of meetings to cross to and fro so that we are engaged in talking to them. Have a number of them. And finally, we shall also have a general camp meeting. The brethren have requested me to join them once again in Nairobi Upper Hill. We are only praying that the riots come down so that we have space to talk to our people. We have space that people can move and join us in the camp meeting and we deliver. One interesting thing is that these meetings we hold here during the day and evening at site, have shaped us in a very miraculous manner, that in as much as we commit ourselves to other duties, the Lord is transforming our characters, making us useful to many. So it's my kind request and prayer that you continue praying for this work, which has started on there. It's now about here, because I was there last year by August, July. We are again in August, July, but because of the riots in Nairobi, so these brethren have tried to push their meeting by 2nd September. We shall always continue disturbing you by saying, can you support me, because I'm feeble and my hand cannot stretch far financially to make me run across all these other areas where sometimes our dear brethren feel if we are not there, doesn't work. But the Lord is always there with them, but we should always be there. We should always be there physically to help and share a number of issues I've learned from Let There Be Light Ministries and other brethren. Hopefully praying that after Jean, I will entice Sister Rose also to fix some times and run through his other shadows of heresy form. Then finally, Ed, above being very busy, once in a while I would love you to join. Praise the Lord. Thank you for praying for us. Continue supporting us. We are grateful. God is working among us. May the living God be praised. Hallelujah and amen. God bless you all. Happy Sabbath and Sabbath blessings.
Amen. Happy Sabbath to you too, dear brother, and God bless you as well. And praise God that that evangelistic tool through Zoom and the meetings taking place in different places with different speakers is being blessed of God, and hearts are being reached and touched with the message of salvation. That is wonderful, wonderful. And please feel free to use any of our recordings or any of our meetings that have been on the web, where you can use these in reaching out through the Zoom room, at least in the audio or in the video part if you use it, when you don't have any other speakers available. You can always use the recordings or the videos that are online to still give them a message of present truth and be able to touch hearts. So wonderful, dear brother, and we will continue to keep that in our prayers.
Amen. I've not managed to log in on Let There Be Light website. Still giving us hard time. Even Kenneth was trying to join, but I mean to log in, and he was faint. So pray for us that we can have a breakthrough of picking information from Let There Be Light ministry, like we are saying. Would love to have those recordings. Sometimes pray to them. Sometimes others would also love to join, because we send links to them. You email me that one to remain in my records. I always keep my records on my account email. So otherwise we are missing some letters. That's why probably we are not joining. Otherwise, I will try using that one and see if we can really have all the messages. Otherwise, Let There Be Light website is a blessing to us, because we pick a lot of information from it and then we use it physically. Even if we don't directly pray, but we pick and then compute it into our own local understanding, so that we disperse it to people. And sometimes when you have some small penny, we can have a few tracts, like have a printer copier, which I do it at my own ease, get the information I need for that very particular area, print it out, go and do what I can, and by His grace, the Lord is continuing to bless us. It is really very interesting that in as much as some people don't see, but the Lord is working very miraculously in every other corner of the world. And I praise him for the new innovations in, on the internet, because in as much as there is also the wine being spread by the internet, but then it is a very wonderful tool when it works, because it has made us access all the information that used to be a here, say, and which has maintained, I mean, the nominous day has maintained to always preach here, say, while for us we log in directly and pick the information and give to them, and that makes us very peculiar. People in reaching them, very peculiar people in talking to them, because we directly quote to them. Meanwhile, in the nominous days in Africa, many of them are just still on stories of hearsay, where for us we pick from the domain. So thank you for let there be light ministry. Let's pray for it to continue to flourish, that we, it may be a bigger, wider tool worldwide to help us bring many souls into the ministry, into the kingdom, that many may be saved as Christ comes the second time, as we wait for him to take us home. Thank you so much, dear Elder Bob and the brethren all around. Support the work in Africa. You know, there are a lot of trials there everywhere, but see, more worse again in Africa, I can tell you. Especially, we are always hit by famine, I mean, lack of what to eat and what to do. Other costs may remain constant, but then this one again pinches people. So it's my kind prayer that you continue supporting us, praying for us, and be with us always in every other mind of setting. God bless you all for everything you have tried to do, to see that we also follow and we are at the same level, and Christ comes as finds us transformed in the character and in everything. God bless you, dear ones.
Amen. Oh, it's the wonderful stories you're sharing there, bro, that makes me want to move to the mines, make a bit more money. Well, in talking about that, as Brother Bob mentioned earlier, I have a little bit of news to share with you all. Looking at rent is the biggest cost in my life where I am, and it's really reasonable, and I praise God for it. But I can't afford to continue with the ministry, so I've got a second job. A part-time job, fencing. Have never done it in my life. Keep me in prayer on Wednesday. It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Lord willing, Monday, Tuesday, I'll be door knocking and the swap meets on Sunday. I had the privilege of talking to my Uncle John, who's got prostate cancer, and he's been told he doesn't have a long time, like a year or two, unless things change. He's not a Christian, but he says, you know, I wish you well. And he's shared with me, he said, I believe in life after death. You know that your spirit is going. And he came to my mum's funeral. And I'm all paused. I'm thinking, what's he going to say next? And he went quiet. I said, hey, John, did you ever read that booklet or tract I left on all the seats? Because they saw me putting it on there with the help of others. He said, yes, I did. It was nice and short and it was to the point. So he must have read the tract, Is Death to Be Feared? But it didn't link. Like, oh, wait a minute. It's the resurrection. That's the only hope. And I was saying this to Lucy. I said, it's probably because think about the things they watch every day. If they watch TV and that and all the things they're surrounded, they've got the wine of Babylon everywhere. So it doesn't matter if they hear the truth once. It's likely to go, whoop, over the head, and they need to hear it again in love. and then again, in love, and with more love, loving them to Jesus, and they realize there is a stark difference between the wine of Babylon and the truths of God's word. So he shared with me I could get a mining job, but it is far away, like 600 Ks to be exact. And who knows, maybe in the future, certainly it'd be a new field. It's where Jamie, me, grew up, Kalgoorlie. It's called the Goldfields, after gold. So thank you for keying. It's sad. I'm sad that I can't do more of it. But who knows, maybe I'll share those thoughts with people when I door knock, given the opportunity. You know, I just wish we could do this, that, and the other. The minds talk about equal opportunities. I'll share it with Brother Bob that, you know, Sabbath is seen as a negative, like, oh, you're not going to do, but if you tell them what you're willing to do, if you respect the Lord's day, I mean, you respect me to keep the Lord's day, I will work overtime, I will work public holidays, and, you know, all the things that people might not ordinarily wouldn't want to take up. So, yes, thank you so much for keeping that in prayer. I do want to share a story that happened at the swap meets. Recently, a guy came along. He is an Orthodox Egyptian. Egyptian Orthodox. Oh, really? I don't come. I said Syrian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox. No, Egyptian. He was just really ready to say it. I think Coptic. Oh, no, I meant Coptic, but Egyptian. He said, and, he was looking. He said, wow, these books look really interesting. I want some for my son. So what are you? And I said, a Christian. A Bible-believing Christian. He said, oh, okay. And he's looking at the books, and each book he's looking at, well, which one should I get? And I'm telling him a bit about it and that. And then he comes to the books that are not free because they're the hardbacks. You know, they cost quite a bit to buy, and then you got to pay for the postage and that. And he said, oh, and what's this one about? And he chose Desire of Ages. I said, I'm so glad you asked. And he went for the most expensive one. I mean, because it has, you know, glossy pages throughout. And I said, it is said by by an employee at the Library of Congress, the biggest library in the world, that it's the most beautiful book ever written on the life of Christ. And I said, other than the Gospels, that's what they said. And that really got his attention. So he's scrolling through. And then I see he's picking up another book and someone's interrupting me at the front. And he said, hey, are these free? I said, yep, they are. And, the Orthodox Greek, Orthodox Egyptian, he says, what are you? A Mormon? I said, no. And there's this other guy listening to our story. A JW? No. I said, I'm reluctant to say no to that last one because I am a witnessing for Jehovah, but I'm not a part of that corporation or the organization called Jehovah's Witnesses. No, I'm not a part of that in Brooklyn, New York. I'm just not a part of that. And, I said, but in saying that, I love them. I love them. I'm not anti them, but I love them. I'm just not part of their organization. And I'm not sure what else I shared, but this other guy was listening. He said, you know what? I was brought up a JW and I'm not one now, but I'd like to take a book. I said, well, feel free. Take one for your friend. If you take one for your enemy, take one for anyone. If you think, and he said, I'd like to give one to my carers. He took two for him, two for himself. And the Greek Egyptian Orthodox, he said, the Egyptian Orthodox, I'll get it right. He's got all these books by this time about this high, and he's taken two that cost money. And I see him putting it on my, I thought, oh, I hope he doesn't walk off while I'm talking because I can't, that's going to cost me a bit. It's about $105 worth. And the other books were free on top of them, but he took two that were not free and, you know, donation basis. And he says, I see him put it on the seat. And then he said, he probably realizes there's some not for free. And he tells me, I don't have money, but I'll go get it. You only take money? I said, yeah, mate, I'm afraid I don't have any other way of doing it. He comes back and he gives me, $200. I said, before I could say, he said, take it. I don't want change. You're doing a good job, and I'm really going to read these books before I pass them on to my son. So I hope he reads it. He gets so much more understanding and knowledge. I love, one thing I got to tell you, I love when I can say to people, like I said to him, he said, oh, do you know my church? It's a da 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 da. And all the, straight away, I knew where it was. So I said, oh, yeah, that, no, I know that one. And the reason I know is because I've been to them. And I said that to her. I said, I've been to it, but I added a proviso. I said, I put literature on their cars when they were in worship. I think it was Lee's Laws Restore Alpha, or it might have been 500 years after Luther or something. And he might have taken note of that. Like, he might have just thought I came to the church, you know, to go to worship. But it might have made a difference. And I'm so glad that happened. And it was just as I was considering going part-time in a different job. So it's a huge encouragement starting a new job. And I appreciate it. We'll see where it goes. We've all got different things facing us, haven't we? And what a blessing we can take it to the Lord, all of it in prayer. And not just prayer, but give our problems and issues and troubles to him, because he really does care for us. And that care is translated into real-time help.
Amen. Oh, if we could just have 100,000 more individuals like that, like those two that were willing to take extra to share. One for themselves and with the Egyptian, one for his son, and with the other one for his caregiver, I think you said, or care person. Yeah, so that is fantastic. What an encouragement, dear brother, that you pray for individuals to be so open and not be so closed, you know, or fearful that you're some cult that is going to lead them astray, but they're open to want to learn, which means they have a mind that is seeking and a mind that can recognize with the Spirit's help, you know, truth from error. So that is fantastic. Yeah, amen. That quotation in the room from Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen, dear sister. Beautiful. So we will indeed be keeping the changes in our prayers, dear brother, and praise God that you'll still be with us Friday evening, which is Sabbath morning, your time. That is wonderful that we don't miss your good company and fellowship and insights, except just on Wednesdays for the time being. So definitely going to keep this in prayer and looking forward to having you continue with us every Sabbath. What a blessing that will be.
Amen. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, Wednesday, well, your time, Wednesday, Thursday for Africa and myself. Yes, it comes to an end. We almost made it to the end. I'm so glad we got as far as we did. I'm sure we probably spent more time, you know, people look back and they go, well, what did it take them years to get through two books? Like, but oh, it's so exciting. As I mentioned to you, a lot of notes. I wish I could spend time on, you know, updating it than that. And who knows, maybe in the future, definitely in the near future, but I don't know what you're going to do, bro. If you want to do chapter 22 or you want to leave it for a future time and go to a new book, I've got notes for Revelation 22, but you no doubt will do great without me. I'm going to miss you all, but at least we could still meet up on Sabbath. And that's important. And I'm really thrilled, by the way, Brother Joel. He's put on the Facebook when you can meet him on on Zoom, and I was looking at it. I said to myself, I wonder what the time is, 8 p.m. his time. So I had a look, and oh, dear me, it's the same as in America when you have your Sabbath church services. It's like 1 a.m. I thought, oh, yeah, that's right in the middle of deep sleep.
Yeah, that's true. But praise God that we were able to have the majority of all the meetings recorded and available, and then videos online at our YouTube page. Those are all available to be able to utilize at any time of need. And praise God for allowing this way of fellowshipping and this way of spreading the message of salvation to be so readily available. And I again praise God that this home church through Zoom was not connected with the website in a direct link. So that the website could be down and yet the home church can continue. So it wasn't connected underneath the website to where the website had to be online for the home church to occur. So praise God we were able to meet for these 43 days without the lightministry.com website being up on the web. And it's amazing, a month and a half without it being available worldwide is astounding to me, but it shows just how intensely active the devil and his agents are to keep this avenue of present truth, this one avenue of present truth, inactive on the web. The Brother James still has his website. Others have their websites in preaching the truth. But it shows you how active and intense the powers of evil are to try and prevent the message from going forth. But just as powerful as those forces are, God is even more powerful. So we have nothing to fear. The enemy can come in like a flood. And everything appears to be washed away, but then God's Spirit raises up the standard of righteousness, the standard of truth against the enemy, and the enemy falls to the wayside. Can't stop the Spirit's power. The earth is going to be lightened with His glory. There's nothing the devil can do to stop it. The more he tries, the more it just helps to open eyes and allows the victory through Christ to be that much more sweet and that much more profound than it would have been otherwise. So for those who may have come in a bit late, lightministries.com is still offline, but the other domain I have, LetThereBeLightMinistries.com, is online. So you'll find the very same information on LetThereBeLightMinistries.com that was on LightMinistries.com. Only I have to have time to change the links that are in the pages of Let There Be Light Ministries. I have to change them from Light Ministries to Let There Be Light Ministries. And try to get some other bugs solved in order to have the entire website available. So it only came on Thursday evening. So last night. And so I only had just a few hours this morning to work on it. But it's updated. You could go to the site and find out what's going to be the topic for tomorrow's church service. And it's going to be questions and answers part 2. our question and answer session ran about 3.5 hours yesterday. So, I mean, last Sabbath. So I figured it'd probably be good to have part two to question and answer, as there might have been other questions that just were not brought up because of the important topics under discussion last Sabbath. So we'll definitely be keeping all things in prayer, dear brother. And may God continue to open doors for you, dear one. Are there any other thoughts or comments, questions? Please feel free.
What a blessing to be here with all of you tonight. Brings joy to my heart. Praise the Lord.
It's been a wonderful fellowship gathering, dear ones. And we look forward to next Friday evening to see what the next chapter is going to bring out in insights and truths connected with what was happening with Elijah and those who he was called to minister and witness to. And who would like to offer closing prayer for our service?
Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for your commandments of love and for your children who follow them. Thank you so much for the Sabbath day, the preparation day, when we can get ready for Sabbath, or we can be in the Sabbath hours. Thank you so much for this one day where we can stop all of the earthly work and just rest and communicate one with another. What a wonderful gift this was to mankind. Watch over each one of us. For those that are in the Sabbath day, be with them and bless them. For those of us on the other side of the world looking for rest, may it be a good rest and wake us up in the morning with joy in our hearts. And we love you, dear Lord. We love the Godhead. We love your way, which takes us out of the world's way. Be with those who couldn't be with us tonight and bless them also. And may we be able to rest in this joyful spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dear ones, go with God. Have a wonderful remaining Sabbath to our dear brothers and sisters on the other side of the world. And have a very good restful night's sleep to those in this side of the world. And looking forward to fellowshipping with you in about 14 hours from now. Until then, dear ones, keep looking up.
Now, Brother Dick has asked me to take his place because everyone's asleep where he is. But no one can ever take your place, Brother Dick, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.